Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to today finish up our reflection this week on different aspects of the person of Jesus that we take from the book of Revelation and other places as we're moving toward the celebration of the Feast of Christ the King. As the church makes her way, we make our way through the end of the church year. Advent begins as the beginning of the year, beginning in the first week of December, beginning of the church year. That is, we walk through the Paschal mystery, the whole story of Jesus' life every year as a community of people, remembering and learning and going deeper and deeper, hopefully every year, into the reality and the majesty of Jesus, being able to follow him and to celebrate what he's done and to be conformed to it and to be formed as a people. So we've been talking this week on Monday, I talked about Jesus as the faithful witness from the book of Revelation. Jesus is the firstborn from the dead. Jesus is the king, ultimately, the ruler of the kings of the earth. Jesus is the bridegroom, I talked about yesterday, which is a very important piece. Maybe I should have saved that one to the end because it does come at the end, obviously, of the New Testament, at the end of the book of Revelation, the wedding feast of the Lamb. That's the destiny. That's the goal of human history. That's the Father's heart. That's what the Father has planned for the human race and the gift of his beloved Son. And today we're going to talk about Jesus as the judge. And all these things really are present in the magnificent person of Jesus, who he is. He is the compassionate lover of his church, the bridegroom. He is the faithful witness, the servant, the humble one, the tender, but he's also the mighty king and Lord of all. And one of his responsibilities that he made very clear is he's going to make everything right before the end, that he's going to give everyone an opportunity until he comes again, everyone an opportunity on earth to be able to respond to him, his offer of salvation, his offer of the forgiveness of sins, his offer of becoming a new creation and entering into the life of the church. Those who are in heaven with him now, the church in glory, who are gathered around the throne, they've already begun to experience the reality fully of what Jesus has brought about. We have a down payment in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. We have a real live communion with the Father and the Son, and Christ has come to dwell in us. We also know, as St. Paul teaches, as Jesus himself taught so clearly, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for our life. There's an appointment in your future and my future where there will be a particular judgment, where if I die tomorrow, I'm going to appear before the Lord and give an account for my life. There will be a final judgment at the end of history when Jesus comes, and the dead will be raised, and those on the earth will be lifted up when the Lord comes, and there will be a separation. Sheep on his right, goats on his left, and Jesus will then make his judgment, and it'll be final forever. And Jesus is coming as judge to remove everything that hinders God's plan and the love of God, everything that stands in the way, right? He's got zeal. He is passionate to intervene, to deal with everything that's inconsistent with the Father's plan, with having the love of God in the first place in our lives, having love of neighbor as a lived reality. This is the way and the life of the kingdom. God's whole plan is summed up in these two great commandments. And Jesus will confront everything that stands in the way. And those who ignore it, those who reject it, those who are acting against it are going to come against his judgment. Jesus is the only man who is worthy to judge the nations. All things were made through him. All things were made for him. He understands perfectly what the Father's plan is, what the Father's design is for each and every one of us. And the question will be, as we stand before him, did we say yes? Did we say yes to love, to the love that he offered us? Did we say yes to his command to love our neighbor? And we won't be able to fool him. We won't be able to con him. It's a reality that nothing escapes the gaze of the one whose eyes are a flaming fire that penetrate right to the core of our being. And in an instant, our entire life will be manifested before him. Yeah, that's an appointment that's coming for certain in your future and mine. That's the appointment we should be preparing ourselves for every day. Unfortunately, I think too many people put it off, ignore it, are presumptuous in relationship to it and don't fully grasp what it's all about. I want to just read a little bit from the Catholic Catechism about both the particular judgment and the final judgment. You can find this in the Catechism around the particular judgment begins, I think, with paragraph 1021. Here's what he says. It says, "Death puts an end to human life as a time open to either accepting or rejecting the divine grace manifested in Christ. The New Testament speaks of judgment primarily in its aspect of the final encounter with Christ in his second coming, but also repeatedly affirms that each will be rewarded immediately after death in accordance with his works and faith. The parable of the poor man Lazarus and the words of Christ on the cross to the good thief, as well as the other New Testament texts, speak of a final destiny of the soul, a destiny which can be different for some as for others. Each man receives his eternal retribution in his immortal soul at the very moment of his death, in a particular judgment that refers his life to Christ, either entrance into the blessedness of heaven through a purification, or immediate and everlasting damnation." So it's either directly to heaven. Martyrs go directly to heaven. Those who die in the right state of holiness can enter directly into heaven like the saints have. Others will go through a time of purification. It's on the way home. There's only two ultimate destinies. That's heaven and hell. That's communion with God or eternal separation from God. And amidst the purification, we call purgatory, obviously, it's the final removing of anything that hinders love in us. And the Lord makes us ready to meet the Father and enter into the communion that's present. At the evening of life, the Catechism says, we shall be judged on our love. And now it's important to know what that means. It's not just love, not just as a kind of warm, fuzzy feeling or not. Talking about the love that was revealed in Jesus. And we've talked about many times on the program, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I think we have to be careful. The devil loves it if he lets us, and he might even try to inspire in us sometimes little sentiments, possibly of affection toward God. That might be a stretch, but it's possible. As long as we don't end up obeying God, the enemy doesn't care if we have all kinds of feelings, but if we don't pay attention to the will of God, which is the bottom line, which is how heaven describes love. If you love me, Jesus says, you'll obey my commandments. Jesus' entire life, he said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. He said he came to please the Father, and he laid down his life and obeyed the commandments all the way to the end. So that was the particular judgment. Now here's what the Catechism says about the last judgment, beginning in paragraph 1038. The resurrection of all the dead, of both the just and the unjust, will precede the last judgment. This will be the hour when all who are in the tombs will hear the Son of Man's voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Then Christ will come in his glory, and all the angels with him. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats, and he will place the sheep at his right hand, the goats at his left, and they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Paragraph 1039. In the presence of Christ, to his truth itself, the truth of each man's relationship with God will be laid bare. The last judgment will reveal, even to its furthest consequences, the good each person has done or failed to do during his earthly life or her earthly life. There will be a clear revelation, and God's judgments will be proven true and perfect. God is a just judge. His judgments are good. And one of the things that is very challenging in our time, in both outside the church, the culture is drifting further and further away of paying any attention to this final judgment, which is really foolish. It's lacking an eternal perspective, and there's no fear of God, which leads to foolishness. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom is that disposition that we open our hearts to the commandments and the will of God, and we begin to move in the will of God, and we don't want to offend him in any way. But the culture at large is drifting. Lots of people are leaving the church even at this time, and it's in accepting the kind of new cultural, aggressive ignoring of God or rejecting of God, right? An indifference toward God. And there's a problem in the church in terms of a presumption that basically everybody's going to go to heaven, this universalism issue that's here at different levels and at different grades, and that there's a presumption floating around that there's probably going to be no one in hell, or if there's no one there, at least maybe Hitler and Mussolini, maybe there's a few people like that, who knows? But other than that, everybody's going to be saved. So what it does is it does just the opposite. It creates in followers of Jesus just the opposite of what Christ constantly exhorted us to be vigilant, to be watchful, to look out for the deceiver, the liar, who's going to seduce us, distract us. And Jesus is very, very clear of the consequences of those who don't respond to him. You know, there's in the book of Revelation, for example, he talks about in chapter 20, the dead are judged, it says in verse 11 and following. It says, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were open," the books of life, what happened in life. "Also, another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, by what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead in them. And all were judged by what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire." This is the second death, the lake of fire. "And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." Judgment is real. We will give an account for our lives. And the judgments of God, friends, are not inconsistent with his love. His judgments are true. We have been given really serious responsibility here on earth. We have an opportunity to say yes to God with the freedom that he's given us. We have real responsibility. And nothing, friends, is more important than our paying attention to God and responding to him. I mean, literally, this is why, on the other hand, this is what I love about God's wisdom and God's plan. To be successful on earth, to be great, has nothing to do with what you achieve in business or sports or whatever we can achieve here. Everybody's got different gifts and everybody's got different abilities. And everything we have in terms of our gifts, we've been given by God. But what God measures, what God values most, is the free response of the human heart to his invitation of love, to enter the communion of love between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Every single person has the capacity to respond to that love by God's grace, and God will crown, he will honor, and he will allow those who said yes to him, who loved him greatly. That's why he said in heaven, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. We're going to be surprised. God's definition of greatness is not acknowledged very much on earth, but it will be on the day of judgment. And every one of us will have to give an account about how much we loved in giving God our time, our talent, our treasure, and our hearts, and how much we loved our neighbor. That's the bottom line. And we should prepare for that and say yes to the grace of the Spirit who's leading us into it. Thank you. God bless you. Have a great weekend.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.